I want to start this story late in 2023, shortly after my 33rd birthday. I had just got done talking to Will Grant of Sourdough Willie's Pizzeria, and he kept talking about his mentee, Niles Peacock, who had just won a pizza championship in Atlantic City. Will encouraged me to go talk to him since I was already in Seattle. But we had just wrapped up our conversation. It was super late and I had a plane to catch. Plus, my camera died while we were recording. But as fate would have it, my plane got delayed and Niles' restaurant was on the way to the airport. I still had some juice on my microphone and I decided, F it, let's go for it. Prior to talking to Niles, I never saw myself as one to compete in a pizza competition. I mean, what do I know about pizza making at that level? But when I was talking to Niles, he made the whole experience sound so approachable, as if anyone could do it. As if I could do it. I also looked up to how much drive and confidence he had. I mean, his restaurant was popping, his staff was on point, and he was on a vibration I wanted to be on. And that's when I thought, I could see myself competing. If Niles can do it, so can I. Exactly 2 weeks later, I got an email addressed to the Uni ambassadors. It said, "We have an exciting announcement to make. We will be sponsoring a competition at the Pizza Expo on March 20th, and we are reserving 6 spots for our ambassadors. There are 3 spots in each competition division, 3 for traditional and 3 for pan. The spots are first come, first served." As soon as I got this email, well, it was sent 45 minutes earlier, but as soon as I read it, I replied saying, "I'd love to do pan." But for 6 days, I got radio silence. You see, there are a lot of ambassadors out there, and apparently we all check our emails really, really fast. There have been similar instances in the past where an email like this was sent saying, "Hey, first come, first serve, you get this." And I replied and I wasn't chosen. So when I didn't hear back from Uni, I thought, well, I guess I'm just not going to compete. I was a little down, especially when some of the ambassadors were starting to talk about what they were going to do and they were really excited. But then on January 10th, I received confirmation that indeed I was on the list to compete. With 10 weeks to competition day, I started training. I was baking every day and eating pizza every day to better understand my dough and the oven I was going to cook on, the Uni Volt. I was reaching out to pizza friends to pick their brain. One of those first calls I made was with Charlie Webb of Hudson & Packard. He won 2nd place in 2022 and 3rd in 2023, so I valued his insights. He got me to up my dough hydration from 65% to 82%. One thing he said was judges like a higher hydration dough, and that the minimum I should be competing with was around 70%. I figured I was going to be using a whole wheat, so that number needed to be a little higher. I also reached out to Ryan of D-Town Pizzeria, who took 1st place in 2023. Unfortunately, he was also competing in the Uni Pan division, so he couldn't say much. I had a lot of momentum leading up to this very moment. I had a super tight schedule, working my full-time job, staying up late to bake and clean, all while creating content on a consistent schedule. In this time, I honestly felt like I was on fire, but I was also brutally tired from waking up early to take the morning shift with my daughter, and to be truthfully honest, I was stressed. Unfortunately, all of that momentum was slowed down after a trip to the doctor. You see, high blood pressure runs in my family, and I knew that pizza was one of those foods that contributed to it. I kept wondering about the effects of my eating and the fact that I wasn't sleeping well or exercising, so I decided to make a doctor's appointment. And on January 30th, my doctor took my blood pressure, and it was not good. It was a startling 150 over 90, when normal blood pressure should be 120 over 80. And at that point, a lot was going through my mind. I knew that my daughter being there for her was the most important thing in the world. And I knew that pizza was second. And so that basically got me to stop. I stopped baking. I got a Fitbit. I started taking more steps. I made health and sleep a priority. And I would stop burning the midnight oil. I would stop baking and eating after a long day. I'd stop overeating. I'd do what I can to bring my blood pressure down. And at that point, it just felt like I was giving up my shot of doing my best in the competition. I thought, with my skill set as it is, I could probably go into that competition, wing a pizza, and I likely wouldn't place last. That just didn't feel right. But that's what I was thinking at the time. Around February 19th, I got home from my anniversary trip down in Dana Point. I was refreshed, relaxed, and a little inspired after having some amazing pizza over at Truly Pizza. John, Chris, Michael, and Sergio are doing some amazing things over there. It was hard not to overeat while there. Trust me. It was so good. And that's when it hit me. I had committed to this competition and I wanted to show up for it. I wanted to give it my all. I'm not proud to say this, but I went back to my old habits of staying up late to bake. But I did do things a little bit differently. I was tasting my dough, but this time I wasn't eating the whole pizza. I was fasting on most days, and I was trying to manage my calorie intake. I did what I could in order for me to be able to bake and taste, because I knew I had to show up. Fast forward to 8 days before the competition, and all I had really been doing was baking off par-baked doughs, because I knew my dough had to be on point. When it comes to toppings, I really didn't have any sort of idea on what to do. I had some crazy ideas. I tried one out. It didn't work. When I told my wife my other ideas, she sort of stopped me and looked at me like I was crazy. And I got the hint. She and I both knew that I didn't have the time or the skill set to be able to execute something that was out of my wheelhouse. And that's when I realized, yo, I'm not a chef. I'm a dough maker. I need something that's going to complement this dough. And it doesn't have to be crazy. It just has to taste good. And I thought, maybe I can just source something that I know already works. And this isn't an original idea, sourcing things that are cooked or pre-made. I remember judging Rob Cervoni of Taglio Pizza's Roman style in the competition, and he used porchetta that he didn't make. And I thought, maybe he's onto something. So my idea? Sourced hot chicken. You see, I used to make a lot of hot chicken, but when I went into this competition, I thought, I don't want to be cooking food on Sunday morning right before I leave to serve on Wednesday at the competition. I also don't want to be prepping in a expo kitchen, not knowing where everything is, and also knowing my schedule. I have a million things to do and a million people to say what's up to, and I wanted to minimize the prep time. But hot chicken. Hot chicken is probably my favorite food next to pizza. I love spice. I love the challenge. Truthfully, I love it when I cry a little bit when I eat it because it's so damn hot. And truthfully, at least in my experience, I have not seen people do hot chicken on pizza and make a name for themselves. So I thought, what could I do? Well, some of you may have heard of a place called Dave's Hot Chicken. They are everywhere, including San Jose, my city, and Vegas, the city where I'd be competing. Dave's is not my favorite place for hot chicken in San Jose or Vegas, but it is my go-to chain for hot chicken for their consistency and availability. And so I went to buy some Dave's to try to make a pizza out of it. And holy shit, that first attempt was not bad at all. I wish I took a picture of it, as it looked just okay. But my wife, who was the hardest person to please when it comes to pizza, said it wasn't bad. That first attempt was a par-baked dough with cheese and macaroni and cheese on top, baked. When I took it out and it was complete, I threw the chicken on and put some cold coleslaw on top. Not bad at all, but it was far from what I was going to compete with. The following day, I talked to Mike Viona, who offered to teach me more about the UniVolt. Mike was the head of engineering at Uni, and the Volt was one of the last projects he worked on before he separated from the company. We had talked about the competition when I first signed up, but to his and my understanding, he was going to judge the Uni one, and when that became evident, we stopped. He said, "Sorry, bro, I cannot talk to you about your pizza anymore or the Volt or anything because I'll be judging," and I respected that. Unfortunately, due to a miscommunication, he said he was no longer going to be judging. But on the plus side, he could help me win. So we set up a call for the following day after I did my first pizza with the Nashville Hot Chicken, 1 week before the comp. And boy, oh boy. Whew. That helped so much. He broke down the engineering of the oven and he basically put words to the observations that I had about the oven that I just couldn't explain. Why my tops were burning, why my bottoms were sort of blonde, why I was doing the things that I was doing to hack the oven in a sense. But he explained it so beautifully, which then gave me the skills to solidify my bake leading up to the competition and adjust as needed on the day of the competition. After my call with Mike, I went to go buy more Dave's Hot Chicken, and I put that sucker in the fridge so that I could test bake it the following day. I needed to see how long it could stay in the fridge. See how long the kale slaw was able to sit without getting too soggy. See how the chicken would dry out over time. Just in case I couldn't buy the materials in the morning of the competition. Just in case I had to refrigerate that stuff and not use it until the next day. And so when it came to my second time baking, I did par-bake, mac and cheese as the base. Post-bake, I did some ranch seasoning, put some chicken on top, put on some kale slaw, and then some habanero hot honey, my favorite hot honey that I save for special occasions. And then the kicker, when I gave it to my wife, I told her to dip it in the Dave's sauce. By the look of her face, I could tell we were onto something, but I knew it wasn't all there. The placement of the toppings were off. She made it super clear to me that the placement of every topping mattered. My wife said, "You're a judge. If you're judging this pizza and taking a bite, what would you want to see and taste?" And that's when I figured it out. Judges really only take 2 bites. Sometimes 3, sometimes they'll finish it if they really love it. But they'll bite the tip and they'll bite the edge. And so that first tip bite has to have everything. So I got out a piece of paper and started playing around with the different ways that I could arrange the toppings to get that right balance. I drew diagrams of pizzas with circles for chickens and X's for coleslaw. It was truly fun doing that and just doing different variations. I really can't believe I did it that way, but it just made sense at the time. And when I got a pattern that I was happy with, I knew we were almost there. But we weren't done with flavor. I knew that if I was going to toy with the judges' taste buds, I needed some creaminess. I needed some relief. I needed ranch. Apparently, marathon runners don't run marathons like to practice when they're training for an actual marathon. Apparently, they get closer and closer with each practice run until it's race time. And I was so hoping that whoever told me that was not playing with my head, because I felt like I hadn't practiced my final pizza. The day we left for Vegas, I was so stressed out. I didn't feel ready at all. I had only made a couple variations of the pizza I thought I was going to make. Not to mention, the mini fridge that I was going to pack in my suitcase didn't fit. Of course it didn't. And of course, I didn't practice packing it beforehand because I was just so damn busy. And I was really scared for my dough. The experience getting to the airport was so rough. Really, it was so hard to leave my daughter behind while I went to Vegas. And that's why my wife and I left on Wednesday after the competition, because we wanted to get back to her. It wasn't until we were finally on the plane that I could feel myself being able to breathe normally. I tuned in to the latest Pie to Pie with Alex Koons, and gosh, Alex knows how to lighten up a room. Fortunately, listening to him and Angelo Womack reminded me of how pizza is supposed to be fun. You see, I had a lot of nerves going on. Not only was I competing, but I had 4 podcast interviews scheduled. I was commissioned by Uni to be in charge of their stories for the duration of Expo. I had a catering event right after Expo. And so to say I had a lot going on in my mind was an understatement. But that plane ride, I had nowhere to go. I had no other option but to just be. And I thought, finally, it's going to be smooth sailing. Of course, I was wrong, because as soon as I landed, I found out that my emergency dough had blown out. And so now I think would be a great time to talk about my dough. You see, I love sourdough pizza. It has the flavor I want that I have not found with yeast dough. The problem I've had with sourdough is I haven't been able to do the pan pizza of my dreams, which is a variation of John Arena's super light and fluffy, long pan-proof dough. But I found that if I threw a little bit of sourdough in my yeasted dough, it would start to take on a similar flavor profile, but still rise the way I wanted it. So the flours I'm using throughout this entire process that I'm going to list out is the Tony Gemignani flour from Central Milling and El Dorado from Central Milling. My sourdough starter is a mix of Costco organic all-purpose flour and King Arthur whole wheat. I'll take my sourdough starter and make a leaven and feed it with the Tony G flour and El Dorado. That's day one. And thank you to Al the Pizza Buddha for hooking me up with both of those flours. Day two, with the leaven, I'll create a batch of dough. I'll put that dough in the fridge to ferment. And so on day four, I take one of those dough balls and it then becomes a pâté fermenté. And I drop that pâté fermenté into my main dough, which is the Tony G, the El Dorado, and some instant dry yeast. After 2 days of fermenting that entire batch, I will then go off to par bake it, let it rest for a day, and then on the final day, I top it and bake it. So it is about a 7-day process. The result, a crispy, light, airy, slightly tangy, delicious dough. Oh, and pro tip, I was experimenting with Crisco again. I actually stopped using Crisco, but I needed a foolproof method to de-pan my pizzas. And I was wrong. Thank goodness for Cordo, because the flavor is so unmatched and every little bit matters. And I just wanted to advocate that Cordo was a big pan of my dough and pizza making process. I digress a bit, but I was still getting used to this dough. I'd only come up with a final formulation a week or so before. And so I thought maybe I should bring my old reliable dough, which is a formulation I got from John Arena in 2020 that uses a healthy amount of instant dry yeast and is meant to be cold proof for a minimum of 3 days. Except, of course, I didn't bring my old reliable dough. I brought a Franken dough that I thought was my old reliable dough, but instead I threw some sourdough in there. I accidentally mixed too hot. I took it out of the fridge to pack on the plane after only 24 hours. And I didn't adjust the yeast. As soon as we checked into the hotel, I opened my cool bag and smelled a bunch of vinegar, and I had to toss the dough. So I was left with the dough that I formulated for the competition and only that. So I hoped for the best. From Sunday through Tuesday morning, I kept my dough on ice. I kept checking the temps. I kept refilling the ice. I was a bit of a mess, but my dough was okay, and I was able to breathe throughout Monday. On Tuesday morning, I went to go refrigerate my dough, and then I went to go see John Arena give his keynote. The keynote, in short, can be summed up to 3 words. We, not me. And that phrase stayed in my mind the rest of the day. Through judging the competition, through doing 3 podcasts, to staying late at the competition floor to do some par bakes, to staying up late to prep my ingredients and prep my bag the night before the hotel, I just kept thinking, we, not me. And I will get back to that later. While I was par baking, I am so, so thankful for Anthony Gilbert from Melt Pizza Company. Out of all of the par bakes that I brought that night, only one turned out as beautifully as I wanted. But that freaking dough stuck to the pan. And had it not been for Anthony telling me to stop hacking at it and just let it chill to come off by itself and separate, I probably would have messed it up. I'm telling you, the bottom was just all flat. The top had risen evenly. The bottom was golden brown. but it was stuck to the pan. And so I dented it a bit, trying to get it out. But he was like, yo, let it do its thing. And dang it, dude, you helped me with the damage control. As for my ingredients, I committed to actually ordering them the night before the competition because I didn't have one more thing. I didn't want to have one more thing to worry about on Wednesday morning. And wow, that was a great decision. Because when I ordered the Dave's Hot Chicken on Tuesday night, it was too freaking spicy. The hot in Vegas is not the same as the hot in San Jose. I gave my wife a piece to try. I ordered her some food and I was like, you want some? This is what I've been playing with at home. She took a bite and she almost cried. I took a bite and I said, damn it, I can't serve this. And to make matters worse, the kale slaw was underdressed and barely had any flavor. At this point, it was starting to just feel like a garnish. A garnish without any contribution to the final dish other than a visual component. And I didn't like that. Fortunately, the bottom of the kale slaw had a little bit more dressing and I shook it up and it wasn't perfect, but it'll take it. But for the chicken, whew, that was no good. So I ended up ordering a medium chicken tender from a place in Vegas that I had previously and fortunately have been to and enjoyed. I cut both of those chicken tenders and put them in a container and mixed it up. The next morning, I got to the competition area. I did my mise en place, and then I went to go taste my ranch, which, by the way, I picked up from Yukon Pizza the night before. I had used their ranch at the Slice Out Hunger event in 2023, and I loved it. But when I tasted it, the morning of the competition, whew, it was a little too thick for my liking. I knew I couldn't scrap it because the kale slaw was so underdressed and I needed some cooling effect. And so I took some liquid gold, aka Corto olive oil, and mixed it into the ranch. And it actually looked really freaking cool. I wish I had the Calabrian Corto olive oil because then it would have looked even better. But it's cool. I did what I could. I worked with what I had. The rest of the time was checking out the competition, making sure my wife was good, talking to the good people over at Baccio Cheese because they had provided my cheese and they sponsor the podcast and they came out to freaking support. I love that. And then my name was called. It all happened so fast, but I'll try to break it down as best as I can remember. To kick off the competition, I had to show the judge my par bake. When he gave me the okay, I went to go and turn my oven to 600 degrees. The cool thing about competitions is everyone is on their own. And if you get your oven jacked, it's not the other person's fault who jacked you. It is not. But the cool thing with the volt is if you set the temperature, it'll start to blink. And that's kind of an indication not to put a pizza in there. So that was the first thing I did, was set my temp to 600 degrees. Then I added some Corto olive oil to the pan and added my par bake, started topping my pizza. For the first time ever, I added Dave's sauce to the par bake as a base. And then I added mac and cheese. I didn't add too much mac and cheese because I wanted the Dave's to stand out. And that was one of my questionable moves. But I said, you know what? It's cool. Let's go. Then I added some sliced whole milk Baccio cheese. Baccio brought my cheese and gave it to me the day before, and I had never used that. But I specifically asked for the whole milk, or I had never used that for the competition practice. I had been using part skim, but I knew that I wanted whole milk for the flavor, for the creaminess. And so I didn't add as much as I should have. I added just a tiny bit around to see how it melted. I left some gaps. And then I put it in the oven. And I watched patiently. When I saw how the cheese was melting, I took it out and added a little bit more cheese. Let it bake off some more. And then it was time for the chicken. But before doing that, I went to go taste it. Crap. It was getting a little dry. So I added some Cordo olive oil in the container and shook it up. And let me tell you, that was genius. Because as I was baking off the chicken, I could see some bubbly action going on as if the chicken was being fried by the oven. It was so dope. And I was just so happy that the instinct worked for me. I pulled the pizza out and proceeded with my post-baked toppings. Ranch seasoning, kale slaw, habanero hot honey. And let me tell you, I took my time. When I was done, I turned around and surprisingly, I prayed. I prayed to God. I'm not very religious at all. I do pray to the universe or to myself or whoever's listening out there, but to God, not really. But I just had so many blessings leading up to this competition. I don't have time to talk about all of them, but from my hotel to my car rental to finding a brand new Lloyd pan in the back right before the competition, actually while I was par baking, so that I could use it for the day of the competition. I just had to say thank you for all of these blessings. Then I went to go to the cutting station. I was totally ready to hand my pizza over to that person to cut it. And then out of nowhere, I was asked, "Do you want to cut your own pizza?" And I was shook. So shook. Because up to this point, everyone had had their pizzas cut by a moderator. And I'm so glad that person let me cut my own pizza because it gave me the chance to pivot. You see, I thought there were only three judges. And so I was going to cut my pizzas into four so I could give out the best three slices. But in cutting it, accidentally messed up the cut. And so I had to pivot to six. And as I was looking at the profile of the pizza and seeing which one had the best fermentation, the moderator said, "Pick the best four slices." And I said, "Four? Huh." Now I had options. Now I could choose the best four slices. And yes, two of the slices did not have as pretty of a side profile, probably because of dimpling. I thought I was done. I thought I was ready to give the pizza up to the judges and put it in their hands. But unfortunately, the ride did not end there. When I handed off the four slices of pizza, I gave them the ranch. I gave them my note card. You see, I thought I would be prepared and type up my note card in advance to tell the story of how I fell in love with spice through pizza and, you know, be nice and organized and talk about my ingredients and my dough. Not to mention my handwriting is crap. But when I handed that note card to them, the two moderators that were there gave each other a weird look. And then they said, I have to go check with the main moderator. And I just stood still with my pizza getting cold. What felt like a lifetime later, I finally was told, rewrite your card. And with every second passing, I decided, Idriff, just make it quick. So I scribbled on one line, high hydration dough. On the second line, I think I wrote hot chicken, kale slaw, mac and cheese, hot honey. I don't even know if I mentioned ranch. I don't even know if I mentioned to dip it. L-O fucking L. How comical. I handed everything to the judges and then it was in their hands. That was it. That's all I could do. Going back to We Not Me. If you are on this pizza journey, you are not alone. If I am on this pizza journey, I am not alone. We do not succeed alone. And that is the point of this episode. I wouldn't have had the chance to talk to all of the people and businesses that I mentioned in this episode had it not been for the podcast. I felt like I had so many nuggets of information and so much help that I was able to use to my advantage. Because of Niles, Mike, Charlie, Anthony, Al, Yukon Pizza, everyone. I have the Uni Volt because of my partnership with Uni through the podcast. I have this amazing supportive cheese company because of this podcast. Thank you, Baccio. Central Milling, I have a good relationship with. Because of the podcast. Al the Pizza Buddha gave me that El Dorado because of the podcast. Cordo has supported me from the beginning through this podcast. And truthfully, those relationships I have, those partners I have, wouldn't be without this podcast, but this podcast wouldn't be possible without you, the listener. So when I went to compete, it wasn't just me competing up there. It was all of us at the same time. We stacked the deck. So I'm confident in saying the competition wasn't fair. We stole it. So I want to thank you, the listener. Because of you, we had a chance. Because of you, we won. My name is Idra Flaxa. I'm the host of the What's Good Dough podcast. And I'm an Uni Pizza champion. I love you. Till next time. Peace.